just go for it.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Say hello to you like I hello. Haven't. Hello. Like we haven't been talking yeah. for like 4 hours.
We're not saying hello to each other. Saying hello to everybody.
Oh, is that what you think?
Yeah.
Is that what you think when you hear it?
Yeah, because
I assumed we were saying hello to each other.
No, I think because you often go, hi guys.
Is that my voice?
Yeah.
What?
Hi guys.
What are we talking
about? Today we're talking about there's a gentle breeze and the bumblebees have been out. So as we learnt this week, we know it can't be that windy because the bumblebees are out and the bumblebees only come out when it's not windy and it's above 13 degrees Celsius.
Is that all bumblebees?
I don't know.
Put you on the spot now.
Let's say yeah.
I shouldn't have questioned it. You sounded really clever and then I questioned it.
Let's say yeah. I've got another bumblebee fact for you.
Do it.
So, the queen and all the worker bumblebees are female.
Right.
The drones are male.
Right.
The drones are literally just for fertilising eggs to make more female bees.
Mm-hmm.
But they themselves have half the number of chromosomes as female bees, and they don't have a father. So the queen lays an egg and doesn't fertilise it, and that hatches out to be a drone. So they're literally like
so
half...
So there's a male clone of...
Yeah, so they have half as many chromosomes and they can't really do anything except for make sperm, which then she stores...
So it's the queen... It's essentially the like sperm if the queen could make it, but she can't make it, so she has to make a body that can make it. Because if they've only got half the chromosomes, that's presumably... And they're an exact copy, but male.
I guess. All I know is... They have half the amount of chromosomes and she lays the egg without, and it's not fertilised, but it hatches out into a drone, into a male.
Do you know geese can self-fertilise their eggs?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, apparently if they're in a really... Wow. I mean, that might just be something that someone's told me on a playground once, but it's in my head that geese, if put in the right situation, I don't know, in the right situation makes it sound like, you know, it's like a...
Hmm.
I don't know. That's a thing that's war in my head. But that, we're not talking about self-fertilisation.
Or bumblebees.
Or bumblebees. We're going to talk about dens.
Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got lots of... We've made notes. I don't normally make notes.
No. It's felt like
it. I don't know if people can tell when they listen that we don't
have notes. we've done some little headings. And the one that I started with was our own memories of dens from our childhoods and thinking back. So I've kind of put you on the spot there.
Oh, me.
So shall I go first while you have a little think?
No, because I'd like to listen to yours rather than be sat there thinking about...
Okay.
Because I think mine's quite easy because I don't think So I think when I was growing up, I think I probably did that thing of, can we put the blankets over a chair?
Yeah, counts.
And do that. Yeah, but what I was going to say was I don't... have any memory of making a natural den, but I do have lots of memories of like finding cozy spots. So like when you're that size and age that you are the only one that can climb into a hedgerow, and like you know the animals climb outside. Yeah. Like, well, we can't get you even if we need to, and so that's my memory of it. Is like more.
And was that like in your garden, or was it when you went out for the day gravitate towards those kind of spaces?
It's always been quite my parents' garden.
Mm.
It was always quite a manicured,
bit
of a Monty Don. You know, like, this would be where we eat, and this would be where the washing goes. And this, you know, there wasn't a like
den place.
There's a bit down the end that's scrubby, and you can do that. Mm. What? Go on, tell me about yours then.
Definitely there was den building indoors, and I remember doing it for my little sister. So we got the fire guard, which was one of those almost like a cage, you know, like half a cage, and got that. And then I remember getting out the dressing up and kind of completely covering it with like glittery shawls, and then hanging like fake jewellery from it. So it was like a sort of Aladdin's cave full of treasure, and going, look, I've made this for you, like my sister who's 5 years younger than me. And it, you know, she was like, yeah, cool. But really, it was for me, obviously. But so I was probably quite old when I was doing that. But we also had a bit in the garden behind the garage, which I would count as a den, even though I didn't build it, like you're saying.
Right.
You know, it's like finding a little space that you just claim as yours. And so my mum would put like the grass clippings there. So that was like the floor of this little space. So it was always really, you could spread the glass clippings around and make it really soft and cosy and nice, and that was like my kind of place. And then I decided that actually we could probably keep a horse there, so I was willing to, you know, donate that space to the pet horse that my parents were never going to get me. And it didn't matter how many times they were like, that is the same size as you and a horse is big and it needs a lot of space. And
how noble of you.
I know. And then I don't know if I talked on the podcast before, but I think I've definitely talked to you about it, about making dens on building sites as a kid. So
yeah,
they were kind of
a rougher childhood, didn't they?
Wow, just a different generation, we reckoned, didn't we? We've kind of worked out. But so yeah, I lived on this estate, and then there were fields, and half the fields were being turned into new housing estates. So you sort of had a mix of like still countryside that you can do stuff in, and then there's a building site, and at the end of the day the builders would all go home and leave just all this stuff, all this crap lying around, so you could go and nick it basically. And people started using the sort of wasteland in between the fields and the building site as a bit of a dumping ground, and just illegally dump loads of stuff, like an old piano and things like that. So it was just like bonza. If you're a kid, you're like so we used to like dig a big pit in this mud pile, and then we dragged one of the garage doors that was meant for the housing estate over the top of it as a roof. And put the piano in it, which was all smashed up, and then made like, and it was, there was a lot of like war kind of play going on, so the boys from the estate next to ours, who are called the Black Lawn Boys because the estate was called Black Lawn, and they were like half our age, but they'd cycle around on bikes, and we would be like, the Black Lawn Boys are coming, get in the den. And we used to make like balls out of clay, like, and let them dry in the sun and have them as ammunition, so they'd all be like lined up inside the den. We called it the meerkat den because you could like poke your head out from under the garage door, whang these like clay balls at them, and have a war. But then they would do things like grab our bike and chuck them off the top of the hill till they, so they smashed. And it was, yeah, it was hardcore. It was hardcore den building play, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then there was another den where I think it was a proper, not junkyard, but what's it called, like reclamation place, where you would go if you needed some secondhand stuff. But again, it was in the weird, like down a lane, always deserted. Okay. So we just like nicked loads of doors from there, dragged them into like this thicket next door, panes of glass, old mattresses, and made a den there. And then the bloke was there one day and chased us and shouted at us for stealing all of his stuff. So that was the end of that den.
Threw clay balls at him.
No, too scared.
Well, I think that leads nicely onto the other one, though, of resources. Because perhaps that is the difference in that stuff, to my, the best of my knowledge, was not available.
Either
wasn't in a place that I was when I grew up, or I wasn't the type of person to have found it, if you know what I mean. But I guess there is a sort of thing, isn't there, about how many or what resources do you need for den building, and are some better than others? And I guess because it does make me think about the no, it's not National Trust, I think the Eden Project sell them,
the den building kits,
like a
in
den
the bag
building kit.
Yeah, one of the children on Saturday bought one.
Oh really?
Yeah, in a canvas bag. It's very beautiful. Go, it's got a mallet, a wooden mallet.
Yeah.
A tarp.
I think it's
some tent
the
pegs.
Idea is you do a guy line.
Yeah.
Between two trees, you do a tent folded over the top, and then you peg the four corners.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're very Pinterest, very pretty. I don't know. I just sort of thinking about them in terms of like, I don't know, what do you need to den build? What, you know?
Yeah.
And how much it affects the like end result of what, you know, the dens will look different here than they will in an estate in the 80s, and then, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder, so what do we, I mean, we don't normally get many resources out for den building.
No, we've got some tarps with holes in, and I think we spoke last week, didn't we, about doing, sometimes with smaller children we string up some string and rope and get some very chunky clothes pegs out and do a bit of pegging and weighing down with stones or things like that with tarps. But mostly it is the just
it's
branches,
just sticks,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But we do have quite a few pallets that often get used, And it's funny, when pallets or kind of bits of wood that have been processed get used in the dens, when I walk past them, my reaction is, oh, I don't like that, because there's like bits of old junk in it.
Straight lines.
It just looks like a junkyard, and I just get a bit sort of conscious that grown-ups, parents, when they're walking back and forth past the den hill where most of this happens, will be like, oh, looks a bit like rubbish. And same with tarps, you know, if tarps are left there, it looks very human-made and shantytownish and ugly, and so my instinct is like, oh yeah, put those away, put those man-made things away, but leave the den up if it's all natural. Which is funny, because that is definitely an adult. So I was reading an article about dens in The Guardian, reading some research, and there's this person saying that adults and children have different ways of looking at the world, and adults are very aesthetically, visually minded, whereas kids are like, what can I do with it? Mm-hmm. What can I do with it? What can I do with this space? What can I do in it?
Yeah.
So the kid me would no way walk past a den hill when there were tarps and pallets on it and go, ooh, that looks like a horrible old shantytown. Yeah. I would go, wicked, great, I'm going to go in there and mess that all up, and I'm going to use that tarp in a different way. And maybe I can use that pallet as a ladder.
It's a bit of a shortcut, isn't it? A pallet is like a... and for some children, that is what they need, because they haven't got the perseverance or to be like, I'm going to make 3 foot of wall by leaning sticks up and maybe lashing them together. So you go, here is a pallet, and that's a door. Done.
Well, it's almost maybe it's not even perseverance thing. It is just wanting different things for different purposes. You know, it kind of opens up a door to have different resources thrown in there. I have sometimes wanted to... as part of my hoarder for a school, brain, I'm always on the lookout for interesting, like, shawls and blankets and stuff to make a different type of den that is a bit more drapey and soft, and what that might look like, and having, like, a big box of almost like old saris or something to see whether that prompted a different style of den and what that might look like. Because they all have different feelings, don't they?
Well, I would say, so we had a den, I would call it a den, that the home ed group made, would have been a couple of weeks ago now, that was
enormous
net. It was
completely transparent.
99% net. And then so they tied two corners of it to two trees, and then they draped this enormous thing back, and it must have gone back 10 metres, and then they made just like a frame or something at the end, and they sort of framed. So the entire thing was completely see-through.
Mm.
But they were very happy in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it was that thing that you've we've talked about before, about humans needing a safe space but also needing to see predators coming.
Yeah.
Which is why we kind of like windows or slatted walls and stuff, because there is a feeling of safety, but there's also a feeling, you know, if
you're enclosed, but not
if you
trapped.
Were in a cave and you'd be watching the door thinking I can't see anything until it arrives,
whereas
you need that space to see out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's inherent in dens, in that, like, particularly natural dens, it's very hard to make anything
completely
solid. You know, you always have that. And so whether that is something that's like innate in our brains, of like, okay, we need to make shelters. What have our shelters looked like for tens of thousands of years? They've been gappy things, and that makes us feel more comfortable.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think the like availability of resources is one of the ways that I would say that you can, as a forest school leader, you can support or challenge play and development without being hands-on. So it's separate to, like, I can teach you how to make a good den, is being like, you know, coming in one day and going, well, actually, we've only got rope, there's no tarps today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so you don't have to be the one that tells them. You just go, here's a different set of tools. I wonder if you can make a den with it.
Yeah.
And then the next week you might, or, you know, 3 weeks later when they're into dens again, you grab a different, you know, this time it's like, well, we've got some tent pegs and we've got tarps, but there's no rope. You know, there's no rope to be had at all. And just like, seeing what that produces. And
yeah, and also I think going back to what we were saying about our own memories, thinking about how the children play, like in the kindergarten space, for example, there are spaces there that I wouldn't class as a den, but actually are in that same category of a little secret place that feels the same as a den. So the corner where there's the tree stumps, which was quite overgrown, but now the more the children use it, the less overgrown it's becoming, is a little, that's where they go when they want to hide something, when they're playing, like, I'm going to hide the stuff over here in the corner. It has got that little den-like quality to it, which, and they don't need to build anything extra to make it
that. Because it's a corner, they can look out from that corner and go, right, I've checked behind me. And it's a chestnut paling fence, so that's slatted and they can see all of that. But
and you have to climb up and into it, sort of, don't you? You have to sort of climb up a little hill and then it's down into a little dip. I was reading something about town planning in Scandinavia, obviously, about trying to design a landscape for children, so adults might like it all neat and tidy and straight lines, and here are the gardens and here are the houses, and this is the safest and quickest route between A and B, whereas children look at it differently and want a challenge and want corners, want little hidden places, want obstacles.
You've talked before about is it Opal that do the design, and, and from A to B needs to be an activity rather than a, like, you know, it needs to be
a journey, an interesting journey.
So, well, we kind of touched on this idea of places, and I think there's again, it's a bit of a, if you said den, you know, I think I have the idea in my head, a picture that comes is that triangle of sticks.
Yeah.
And that is a den. But then some of the most successful play we've had here is people taking the resources and making dens in places that you might immediately look at and go, this is not ideal for making a den. Mm-hmm. And almost that's what makes it good, is in some ways it's like, well, no one will think to look for us here, so you get that, like, seclusion. But in some ways, so we had a really nice one, this was a long time ago, so long ago that it was when I was doing an after school club and I had two children coming, and so at the bottom of our woodland there's a big ditch and then a bank, and the ditch is where the bank was dug, and they made a tarp that went from the over the ditch, so essentially a tunnel where the bottom was earth and the top was a tunnel, and absolutely loved it, absolutely loved it. And the thing that they had that dens in other places, so like a triangular den, didn't have, was it was quite high. It was almost like you know the curved bus shelters they have.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of shape over the ditch. And it, so it felt like a den to them, but they could move through it at speed, which you can't do on a den that's like cozy and so. It was it was the opposite of, like, you know, they'd explore out of one side, and then I think the game was me sneaking up on the den. Just they saw me coming from the other side, they just bolt through it and, like, go straight through the den, and oh, this is ours, and you can,
like, which, a badger set with different entrances and exits.
It was a very interesting. And I think that's the thing, is like branching out, because obviously for a school, like, den building, they go hand in hand, and it's a bit of a it's a thing, it's a repeatable thing that children like to do, and so trying to get away from I guess it's two sort of frameworks of looking at it, because you could look at it as going, there are countless ways that you can set up, and I'm using air quotes, survival shelters. So they're, like, efficient shapes, they're close to the ground, they use minimal resources, whatever. And then you can go down, it's almost, if you go down another branch into play space dens, we go, this would be the cackest thing ever to try and survive in. This is absolute dog shit to survive in. But you can run through it.
Yeah.
Or
you can see through it. You can see you've got a hatch that you can post stuff through.
Or
and,
like
yeah.
this is you know, they'll find like a, if they put a tarp up quite often and then it sort of sags in the middle and that then becomes like a storage thing or a shelf and they go, oh, we keep all our weapons in here.
Yeah.
And we do all that stuff. That
isn't it interesting how den play often, if it is left to be extended, so often leads into war play. It really often becomes like, no, but you know, you're not allowed in the den and we're going to collect the pine cones to keep you away from the den and I'm going to sneak up on the den and all of that stuff. It really is. Yeah, it is. We've like, built this world.
We've built it and this is ours.
And who are we going to keep out of it? Who's allowed in? Who isn't allowed in? And all this kind of stuff.
And interestingly, how it changes their view for lots of children on the thing of like, what half an hour ago was a hill which everyone has access to, it's just part of the forest school, to like, some of them you can see it in their eyes of like how deeply they believe that is now their ground. They will
completely
not yield it
completely
at all. And also I'll tell you what, this leads on to a nice a segue into another bit of like den building, so not survival building, play space building. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it play space building from now on. Because if you're making a survival shelter, you could almost draw a plan and say, look, we're going to make a lean-to here, so we do need this and we do need this, and everybody can go, got it. If you're making a play space, someone can arrive two-thirds of the way through and go, I've got a chute that's going to be a chimney on the thing, and then you either have to reject or incorporate that idea, or there's so much more negotiation than if you go, I'm going to teach you all how to make dens today.
Yeah.
Let's all make dens.
Yeah.
We've all made the den. Congratulations. Yeah. To be like, well, today our den's, it needs a slide and a pulley system to get the map away and all that. And that stuff that you go, well, you've got to, it's interesting what gets incorporated. And quite often it does lead to a like, they won't let me.
Yeah. Oh, completely. I was going to say exactly the same thing. That it always gets, for you know, you can view it in two ways. The play that happens as the den evolves and they go inside, or people aren't allowed in and all that kind of stuff, either turns into a complete mess socially, or is what an amazing opportunity to confront conflict, make compromises, resolve issues together. And so, you know, we have to give them that opportunity. But it is probably when we talk with all of our staff who work with us, our huge team of staff.
It's not huge.
So one of the most common things that comes up when we're talking about sessions and reflecting back together is like, oh yeah, that group had the issue with the dens again, where they were in there, like either here or in schools or wherever we are. It's some groups will get into this jag of like, we have made this and you are not allowed in, and we are allowed to raid your den to steal resources for our den, and okay, let's all sit down and talk about the rules. Are we allowed to do that or are we not allowed to do that? What do we think? And then it's just
which is rife with
conflict and confrontation.
But what I think is difficult there as opposed to other situations is like, if you want to go on the swing and someone else is waiting to go on the swing, then like your need to stay on the swing is entirely like, well, I'm not interested in you being on the swing, like I just want to go on the swing. But the idea of like raiding and stealing and whatever, when you bring the kids together and you go, we don't want them to raid our den, that's what makes the raiding enjoyable. It's more fun because you don't want us to do it and you're stopping us, and like, so it's really hard then to go like, they don't want you to do it. Good. Because that makes it harder. That makes it a challenge. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't go like, oh, they want you to raid the den, and then you raid them, and then what, they just go like, we'll come in and take the step. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
The point of the game is that it's conflict, and that it's can we be the dominant group, team, tribe?
Yeah. And it probably, and when completely, and when it does, when it lasts a long time, that desire to have that kind of play, that probably is, as forest school leaders, one of our most challenging times, isn't it? Because some children will get really, really upset to the point where they'll go home and speak to their parents and be like, I was basically bullied today because blah 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 blah. So we have to be there offering loads of support to those children that need it, At the same time as allowing conflict to happen in a safe and supportive environment, and to not stamp it out and go, okay, we're stopping now, stop, everyone stop, put your, you know, because that's what children get all the time. And I just, one of the, we were talking this morning about how it's quite, it's very boring to keep on harping on about school and forest school, and but one of my memories that I won't forget from doing den building in a school was watching a child make a den, and it was a bit like the dens we described, where you're inside and then you pop your head out, so it feels a bit subterranean, but there were just two tarps over the top of it, and there was a bit of a gap, so the child was just like putting their head out, looking around, grinning their head off, and then popping down again. And and this member of staff at the school went, like, shouted this child's name and went, "Don't do that! Don't put your head out! What are you doing?" Like, whoa, literally, what? I could not even... I tried really hard to put myself in the member of staff's shoes and go, okay, what are they... What are they seeing? Are they, are they seeing a risk there? Are they seeing some kind of behaviour? Yeah, exactly. And I honestly could not find a single reason why they would say that.
Didn't follow it up. I
think I did then go, okay, right, we need to work together now to help you understand what for a school, even though we're on school premises, what it is. So that kind of was, that initiated a longer sort of conversation between me and that member of staff over a period of time. But I really found that very...
On the face of it, the only thing I can see is whether it's that... I was just talking to one of the parents that's just left the Todd group about that difference of play between what does it do and what can I do with it?
Mm.
And like that, when children meet a thing or a space or a new thing, they have to go, what does it do? So then they pull all the ropes or they bang things together or whatever. And then after a while, given enough space and time, it becomes like, right, what can I do that it's not that it's not supposed to, but it's like designed for?
How do I break the rules of this?
How do I use this in a different way than it's intended? Or how do I incorporate this with something I already have or whatever? And whether that member of staff had in her head that dens were roofs and that you're playing house, and so maybe for her it's broken some sort of immersion of like,
that's the roof, you can't put your head through the roof. I think you're right. I think that's what it was.
That's not how we play.
Which we are as adults in danger of doing all the time. Even if you're really aware of it, you will find yourself going, oh no, because that's not how you imagined that thing to be used, you know. And it is something that you hear a lot. Why? That kind of leads a bit on to, we've put a thing of like permanence, packing away and ownership. So that's another thing that happens when we have groups here that work very hard on building a treehouse, for example, and naming it. And, you know, so we've got
making
a treehouse, making signs and writing things. We've had like a sign with the name of the den and like the ages which are allowed in. So we've had like, this den is for 6 to 13-year-olds only, anyone under that age cannot come in, and stuff like
that. And picked one person that's we're gonna scout around the issue.
It's the rules of the den. And then what happens, there's a squirrel eating, so we made some flapjacks in sweet chestnut leaves today, and the squirrel is really enjoying crumbs of those, I imagine. I can't quite see.
Yeah.
But it's just... Oh, is it a pine cone it's eating? I don't know. Probably a bit of both.
It's a good job we're not recording this, isn't it? Mm. It'd be dull if we were just recording the sound of our voices. Talking about a squirrel people can't see.
And so then... That whole, and it comes up quite a lot, like, oh, you're gonna, can you, Lewis and Gemma, can you leave this up, leave the sign up, and can you make sure that no children under that age go in, and can you make sure that this is all like it is next week, and can you not, don't let anyone else touch it, and that whole thing.
I'll go one further than that, though, in that the one that winds me up the most, or I find it the most kind of like funny, is when they've been doing dens and then you go like, okay, it's time to come back for a circle, or parents are here, we're time to go, and there are children who hand me resources and go, can you put the roof on and do this and then make the thing for next week, and I just look at them and go, no. I find that quite funny. But yes, sorry, the overarching point is children who who want to retain ownership over weeks and weeks and weeks, mm. or who want to not ever have the den removed. And
and that is a challenge, because you could definitely argue that there is great value in
long-term projects.
Yeah, yeah, and managing to preserve that for them, so that it's living on, as we've spoken about before, living on in their mind in between the next time they come, and they've got this plan and they are armed with all these amazing ideas for next time, and then they come and it doesn't exist anymore, and that just, you know,
huge,
yeah, that huge disappointment. Yeah, so, but we've done a mixture of both, haven't we? We have had projects where we've gone, do you know what, guys, this actually belongs to the other people, so you can play in it, but you can't really add anything to it, you know, they've planned it out and they know what they want to do.
And quite often, if you kind of just go, I can try, that's normally my response. It's like, I can try. And then if other groups do come in and say, we want to play in the den, I'm all for children playing in the den, and I'm all for what I would call a little bit of thieving, in terms of like, can we take the tarp off that? Yeah, you could probably take the tarp off. What's that? It's going to be two minutes to put the tarp back or whatever. But if you let dens run their course, then I think you sort of naturally find a point, you know, after however many sessions, where you either go, you're using this all the time, I reckon we should bank this in harder and make this where we're going to put a treehouse. Or, you know, it's almost letting them show you what needs to exist. Or you realise one day that you go, oh yeah, that was built by the guys on Saturday, but they haven't used it for weeks now, so I reckon we can just like
take that down and use it for something else.
I don't know whether it's right or wrong that it is a decision that you make without
it does come back to that thing of Forest School is a sort of strange, slightly artificial version of the 1980s childhood that I described at the beginning, where that actually was my den, even though the stuff that I made it with was nicked from the building site or the scrapyard or whatever. That's not strictly true. I was going to say I pretty much knew that when I came back to it a week later it would be the same, but that isn't actually true, because there would be times where you could tell other kids had been there and played with it in the interim, or and done a poo in it or something. Do you know what I mean?
That then sort of becomes then an extra. It's like then you become a detective game.
Going, oh, completely.
Oh,
and you
move this. And
yeah, and you start getting really angry and like, oh, you know.
Do you know what? But we've said though that we have the same thing when one of us runs a session and the other one isn't here. And when you, the thing of like, when you're running a session, you know that it, like, the wind really picked up and so you had to just get that bag in quickly, or you know, didn't see that bit of washing up. But you come in, if you're the person that didn't run the session, you come in and you go, what a disgrace!
I know,
I would never leave bags like this. And,
well,
oh my God.
I was thinking how actually a lot of the stuff, that I will say you rather than we, because you do most of the like big building on site, but the little house that you've built by the by the kiln and this kitchen and that we're sitting in right now is den building.
Oh, yeah. This is me living in den building.
You know, it is us playing as grown ups. Exactly. And you are doing that thing of to the kids, well actually no, this we can't do that here because this is my this is my den and I've decided this is how it's going to be, like with that house, you know. So you are playing in it with them in terms of like building a little fireplace in there, but you get the final say because it is your den, and it is, and that's completely fair enough. That house is not, like, it becomes an amazing play space, but at the end of the day...
I'm not sure anybody's asked me to do anything with that den that I would... Maybe I do it subconsciously. I exude subconsciously, this is a thing, you can use it.
And I think that the way that you play there is like... Oh guys, I've got this plan, I've got this idea, and we're gonna do the roof like this. And so it's not the same as the kids building a den, because it's your den and they get to like help you in a certain way, I would say. Not in a very strict, I've never heard you go, oh no, you can't do that, of course not. But that is like that's a Lewis den.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel weird? It's not in a bad way in any way. It's not like
Do you know what I think it in my head, maybe whether this is true or not, but the difference that I'd made in my head is, as I'm saying this now, I've realised complete arse, because what I was going to say was that
it's so a den, it's got a function.
Maybe the reason that I sometimes approach it with like, guys, I'm gonna do the wall today, and a bit like we've said, it's the thing where you go, I'm gonna make this, if you want to help me, cool,
completely,
but is because my aim is to have that to be a little house, or not a house, a little space where like I can stay when we light the kiln and it has to be on for a long time. And so I'm like, that's got an end goal of like, then it will be done. And then I was going to say, opposed to den building, where, and I was like, and then that's exactly what children are
exactly.
doing. They're making a den because they've got this idea in their head.
Yeah.
That what you know what's
because
not the kiln,
they don't understand, because even though we explain to them that's what it's for, that is so abstract to them, they can't grasp that at all. So they're like, right, okay, I still want to smash this bit down and change this. And, not with this one, you can't actually do that. But but it's a great place just because it's got no walls, and I love that. And that goes back to that thing of they can walk in and out, and it just becomes, it's almost like it's more cozy because it's not enclosed at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's got, it feels like a little cottage, and it's
I'm
got a little fireplace in it.
Are
you?
I'm
why?
Not enjoying the net roof.
But I tell you what, the net roof, so it's got a big net over it. It's like an old scramble net, isn't it?
That's
knackered.
And then we've just been throwing essentially dead hedging into it.
But a child managed to get inside the roof and use the roof as a hammock the other day. So a child called out to me and was like, Gemma? And I was like, where is this child? And they're like, you can't see me, can you? And I honestly couldn't see him.
Wow.
And he was like inside the roof of the house.
Well, then the
roof's safe. He was like, it's a hammock and a roof. I was like, okay. So I could see you perfectly, but you couldn't see me. I saw you look at me like three times. So yeah, maybe you should keep the roof.
The net roof stays there. Maybe I'll just keep piling crud on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I think we've covered all of the...
Can I just add a little fact that I found out? Which I've read it, so it must be true. Apparently, Norway, for the last decade, the Norwegian government have been paying children to make dens. Project
what?
Called Try Yourself.
Right.
Yeah? And they've been paying children to build their own dens. As because they did this study and were like, you know, in the 70s, every child had a den. Every child between like 3 and 12 had built a den, and then they did it again and like nobody had. So they were like, oh, we believe this is really fundamentally important to child development, so we're going to pay kids to build dens, and that's what we're going to do. And then somebody saw what they were doing, and they were like, oh my god, you are basically treating children like endangered peoples. So, you know, like, you know, tribal people or Sami people or whatever, who are paid what would be the word for it, like a subsidy or whatever, to maintain their way of life because it's viewed to be important, even if it has no capitalist commercial value. You go, okay, well, that is so fundamental to their way of life that they've got to keep doing it, otherwise that will die out and they won't be a people anymore. So someone's gone like, oh, you're treating children and that aspect of childhood as something that needs to be subsidized to continue, because it's so fundamental to child development, which I thought was like, whoa, that's pretty heavy.
Heavy, but do you know what my immediate response to that sort of information is? That I wonder if that is inadvertently going to kill it.
Maybe.
Because in that Alfie Cone punished by rewards, as soon as you incentivize, you know, it's. I'm not saying there's no value in doing in building dens if you're paid, because obviously there's all the like, you're getting structural knowledge out of it, and you're getting a bit of resource knowledge and whatever else. But like, how much of the benefit of those children 20 years ago that all had a den, for, what is it now, 70s, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that all had a den, like how much of that was because it was internally motivated and it didn't have an end result and it could stop whenever they wanted and all that stuff, that you go, well, will children carry on past their enjoyment if they know they're getting what do they get in Norway? Euros. Is Norway in the euro?
No.
Okay. So they get Norwegian dollars.
I think it is krona, but I'm not sure.
I think that's Sweden. I think it was Sweden. Anyway, that's not the point. The point that I'm saying is whether they're accidentally killing it in the same way.
It's literally eating the flapjack. The squirrel has gone onto the table and found the tray of flapjack.
Oi!
And is just having a good old munch. Just looking at us, yes?
Okay, right.
May I help you?
Back off, mate.
No, why would I? Delicious. Delicious. I'm going to just go and... I'm just going to take the flapjack away from the squirrel.
Okay, well, Gemma's gone off to harass a squirrel. So I think we'll call the podcast there. Do you want to shout bye?
Bye!
Bye.